You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand, and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moxie and Joe. Planning a party they're gonna have out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey, what up there, Doc? Well, I'll tell you what, Billy. Between all the stuff that's going on around this country, between us doing and where we're at, between these book reviews I've gotten, and, you know, I just took four of the top ones, and we get in late, and before I pass out, I try to read a few pages of these different books that people send me in the Bigfoot field for my review and my take on them. So I think what we're going to do is I'm going to just talk a minute or two about these books, the last four that I picked up. There's one, ladies and gentlemen, that I got. It's called Visits from the Forest People, an eyewitness report of extended encounters with Bigfoot. This was by Julie Scott and the Scott family. It was pretty phenomenal stuff. It's a long-time encounters with, they call it the Forest People. Now, there was a guy named Morgan out of Florida back in the 70s. He was a PhD. I forget his first name. Tom Morgan, I think it was. Dr. Tom Morgan. And he put the nomenclature of the Forest People. And this family, believe it or not, was pretty phenomenal. They, their daughter was kind of like the bait for these creatures. You got to give it a read. It's called Visits from the Forest People. It's by Julie Scott and the Scott family. It's interesting. Let me just put that to you. You know, let me read this little passage real quick. Okay. Most Bigfoot encounters are over in an instant. A flash of a car headlight on something by the road, or a shape dashing behind a tree. The lucky ones last a moment or two longer as Bigfoot walks across the distant field or out of the range of the light. When we have a chance to hear the story of Julie Scott and the rest of the Scott family, who lived in the presence of a Bigfoot clan for many months, it's time to pay close society and attention. Long-term observations can tell us more about the characteristics of Bigfoot society than any number of plastic casts, hair samples, brief sightings, or even the so far unattained Bigfoot body. In Visits from the Forest People, we have their story and their thoughts about what these forest people really are, how they came to be, and why we need to treat them with respect. You got to give this a read, ladies and gentlemen. It's put out by Pine Winds Press. It's another one that I delve into a little bit. It's called Book 2, The Night Man, by J. Allen Danilek. A Paul and Sarah Manhart cryptozoological adventure. And I love this thing on the back. It says, something evil is prowling the vast forests of Upper Vancouver Island, and it's not human. A rogue Sasquatch that has learned to enjoy hunting humans is on the loose, and only one man, self-styled Bigfoot tracker, Jake Verity, knows about it and the danger it possesses. Obsessed with killing the beast before it can find its next victim, Verity turns to the world's foremost and only husband and wife team of cryptozoologists, Paul and Sarah Manhart, to help him find the creature and end its reign of terror once and for all. Unfortunately, none of them expect the monster to be as cunning and dangerous as it turns out to be, resulting in a struggle for survival that will pit Paul and Sarah against an wow, abomination of nature, more determined and more evil than anything they have ever encountered before. That's put out by Dragon Strike Press, and this is part two. Another one, which I found very interesting, ladies and gentlemen, it's called Bigfoot New Jersey, the Garden State Variety Sasquatch. They call New Jersey the Garden State, ladies and gentlemen. And it's pretty well profiled. I really enjoyed this one. And this is by W.R. Matz. Pine Winds Press also puts this one out. I think the one that I really, really enjoyed the most out of these four that I was sent about 17 of them. But like I told you, I just take one now and then and just need something just to relax me before I go to bed. This one's by Ray Crow. You've heard him many times on our show. It says, Bigfoot Behavior 1, the best of the track record, the anecdotal evidence, volume 1. This got to be a chock full of Bigfoot hunters, researchers, cryptozoologists, scientists that really come to love Ray Crow. And it's an abundance of encounters and people that you've heard throughout the years. I suggest you get it, because it's one hell of a book. And he dedicated this book to me, to Tom Biscardi, a longtime good friend of many years and many more to come. Ray, God bless you, buddy, and I can't wait to see your new book. Ladies and gentlemen, these are just four that I've been trying to get to and review and get back to these people. give them a read. You're going to find out that there's a lot of things out there that we didn't know. A couple of these deals I didn't know myself. This goes to show you, as old as you are, you're just as young as your knowledge that you possess. Well, Billy, what's been going on with you, young man? Talk to me.
Well, let me tell you. I got a call from, let's see, from Maine, Steve from Maine. Again, prior to the show, driving down the road, running alongside the road was this, he thought it was a man at first, and as he's going by this thing, gets closer and closer, it's a preacher. He's got hair hanging down, this big hairy man, running like crazy. And he said it would, and it ran right into the, ran from the, when it seen him coming down the road, he ran right back into the woods and took off. And of course, Steve didn't stop to say hello. He said he stepped on the gas and got out of there.
Which is very typical of all of them, isn't that the truth?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and also we had a guest book entry about in June from a good friend of ours from way back in Australia. We had him on the show a couple of times about 4 or 5 years ago, and he sent us an email an informational thing about a guy, the Yowie research team in Australia. And I sent them an email. What we're trying to do is connect up with them and try to get him on the show to talk about his side of the Yowie. There's many, many characterizations that they have on their website that are so close to ours, it's pitiful. They have the standard variety, the 6 to 8 or 10 foot version, and then they have a 3 to 4 foot version, and there's a couple other likenesses that we have over here in our species that they have also, similar to. So it's pretty neat. I think it'd be a good thing to do. So I sent them an email and trying to contact them and get a hold of them.
Yeah, we were. They invited us down there. I don't know if you remember that or not.
Yeah, they did.
And just recently, I think it was this month, where people go in and sign our guest book, there was a guy there that was trying to hook us up with them.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. We had him on the show about 4 years ago, as a guest. And he had actually, through Ray Crow, as a matter of fact. Ray Crow introduced us to him. He had the Yowie sighting, and we had him on our show way back then.
Kind of fantastic, isn't it, where you go down under and halfway around the world, and they got the same kind of creatures that we have here. It's totally amazing, Bill. It's totally amazing. How you feeling? You feeling okay, buddy?
Yeah, I'm feeling good.
I'm glad to hear that. Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, without any further ado, I want to get down there to Florida. I have a new addition to us. His name is George Ward. He's contacted me, and he's a true, real cryptozoologist, let's say. He's a serpentologist. He really makes his money, his living, with snakes and salamanders and bugs and stuff of that nature. But while he was out doing what he does, he's been seeing some weird stuff and hearing some weird sounds, and that's when he had hooked up with me. And through the course of a few weeks, where it was some things that were close to him, and I asked him if he would go over there represent us, and I'll be damned if he didn't have an experience. Without any further ado, we're going to go talk to George down there in Florida right now. George, you out there?
Yes, sir, I am. Good evening, gentlemen.
How are you?
Awesome.
Good. Well, you know, this is the first time we had you on the show, and we feel honored to have you with us. And we're glad that you can take out a few minutes of your research, and whether it's your research or leisurely part of your day or night. And what I want you to do, George, if you will, if you give a blow-by-blow what exactly happened when I sent you out on this call that we had. Just don't bring up any names or don't bring up any locations, please, because it's still a hot spot, as you and I both know.
Okay. Well, first, I appreciate the opportunity to go and do this preliminary investigation, and I am returning to that site. I got to view the footprints that were cast. I got to go to the areas that those casts were made. Spectacular area, beautiful. And this was my actual first time getting vocals and actually vocal responses that continued for almost 30 minutes, which I was astonished. I never thought I would have that experience other than some of the things that I had found in South Carolina doing my work there. After interviewing everybody, you know, I was very intrigued, and, you know, it really got my curiosity that, you know, I want to see it. I got to go back. Like I said, the vocals that I heard, it's the area we were located in is just miles and miles of nothing but forest. I've actually satellite imagery this place just to make sure on my own, you know, my own thing there, to make sure that there was nobody out there. And to hear the sustained call that we got was just, it was overwhelming. I was really surprised. You know, I've had wood knocks. I've had trees pushed over. I've had trees pushed over on a vehicle. I found scat. I found structures. But I had never had vocalization before other than what I had, you know, reviewed on many different programs and people's personal sightings and recordings. But to actually get there and get what those people were experiencing, like I said, it was mind-blowing. I was just so intrigued and so in-depth in that. I can't wait to go back.
Tell them about the situation where the creature actually moved, picked up and moved, pushed to the side the pickup truck.
The folks that I had went and met, you know, they had described all the instances that they had had, and some of those was right at their house. And when the young man explained to me that this thing had actually came and, you know, applied its hands to the vehicle and pushed the vehicle back, that to me was really something else. They actually had showed me the pictures and stuff of the fingerprints on the vehicle. Unfortunately, my time was short there, so I didn't get to indulge further. But to have that and to see that kind of close interaction with you know, a person's vehicle or home, that is something else that you know, there's a reason. There's some kind of reason. Whether it's, you know, get out of here, we don't want you here. Or was it because of the contact that they've made by the vocals and the wood knocks that they've done and actually getting this creature to come into where they were at? Me personally having a tree pushed over on a vehicle while I was in it almost being decapitated was one thing. But to have them tell me that this thing actually moved the vehicle 4 feet and show me where the vehicle was parked, I sat on the porch and waited for something to get closer. Unfortunately, we didn't get that experience on that evening that I was there.
Here's what I want you to do. I want you to explain, give it a blow-by-blow action on to my audience around the globe right now, if you would, George, about when you first heard these vocalizations. Because I remember you telling me that you said, "Tom, I thought I actually heard them talking to each other." You understand that?
Yeah. You know, like I said, on my reviews of everything and my pursuit to this, I had never personally heard it. But just the other evening within the last week, which is here in South Carolina, it was the first time that we had ever got to experience the talking. And where we're at there, it's a hunt club. There's nobody around. It's the same thing. It's just thousands and thousands of acres of hills and swamp. And what was really intriguing on that was the fact that where we got those vocalizations, and it sounded like they were communicating, that they were actually talking back and forth, was the first place that I had ever gotten my first wood knock, which the first day we got the wood knock was a response to a wood knock. The second day in that area, we had a wood knock without initiation. And what was really odd is when every other animal around there went totally dead silent except for one squirrel that was up on that hill. And when we were out the other night, the waters have been really, really high because of the recent rains. So when we were out there, this was the first time we had been out there at night. We had done our thing with our salamanders and ran around. But then we wanted to do some calls and some whoops and stuff like that and see if we could get anything. And we had actually got a couple of knocks, and then we got the vocals, the voices. It sounded like people talking. And my buddy that was with me, he just, his skin went up in goosebumps. His eyes got real big. And his family has had a cabin here for almost 30 years. And they've never seen anything or heard anything like that. When we had got that, and it came from the same ridge where we had had the wood knocks come from, that was even more, you know, I mean, it actually made the hair stand up on my neck. And I'm not intimidated by anything because I play in the woods every day, every night for a living. Immediately after that, what was even more so was we had actually got a whistle that was behind me, which is on the opposite side from where we had got the vocalizations of the chatter. And it sounded so close, like that it was right in my ear. Now, like I said, I'm not intimidated by anything, but it seems that was high water, real small beat. It made me a little uneasy, and I told my buddy, let's go ahead and get out of here for now. When the water recedes a little bit and we have a little bit more free moving, we'll come back. I got to do another night investigation there. And that was where I had my most experiences thus far, including finding structures that just stuff that, you know, I know a normal man couldn't do. Finding a ambush blind along a game trail along the creek bed. And where we were at, the guys just don't go in there. You know, when they hunt, they go in on four-wheelers. They don't go in on foot. They don't go in the bush like we do. That's really gotten my attention even more so than what we have had experiences with. Trees pulled over, the wood knocks, having the tree pushed over on the vehicle. My first experience was in a different location. So just in South Carolina alone, I've had three different areas that are several miles apart and had experiences. And then to go where I went to Virginia, it's game on. I can't stop now.
Well, it proves one thing, doesn't it, George, that there's not just one of these creatures in the world. There's many.
Oh, absolutely. I there's no way anybody could deny that. I will stand against anybody that says otherwise, because I know different. I know what I do for a living every day in the woods. I've done it professionally in South Florida for 22 years. Now, granted, I have never had anything happening with a skunk ape, but being here and then having you give me the opportunity to go and do that preliminary investigation in Virginia, like I said, there's definitely more than one.
Listen, why don't you tell my guests around the globe exactly what you do and some of the specimens that you brought back?
And I know it sounds bad, but I quit school at 16 to become a professional herpetologist. And in the last 22 years that I've been in South Florida doing what I do, I have been published worldwide 5 times. Once in Reptile Magazine and 4 times in the Florida Academy of Sciences for working with introduced exotic species. I've actually been the first person approved by the Puerto Rican government to go to Puerto Rico and take the iguanas out of there. That's what I specialize in, is invasive species of reptiles and amphibians. I am a professional herpetologist. I have gained that respect and reputation and know that I am one of the leading experts in South Florida to do these kind of removals, and I'm a no-kill specialist. They didn't ask to be there, so why should we terminate something that didn't ask to be there, especially if I can benefit the well-being of the animal, I can benefit the natural ecological balance, as well as generate revenue that I put back into our communities, our society, our economy, and it benefits me, and most of all, it benefits my son. This is something I've been intrigued with as far as the snakes and stuff since I was 3 years old. When my parents pursued me to, you know, greater my education, but it just wasn't holding my interest. I was bored in school. But I made something out of that. I made a living out of that. I've made a career out of that. And due to that, I actually get the opportunity to go to several different states. I've been to 3 countries, and I have worked in just about every terrain that you can imagine, whether it's been in the mountains, whether it's been in a cold climate, if it's been in a swamp, I've been in the desert. Becoming a professional herpetologist, which is the study of reptiles and amphibians, I've been able to make a career out of that. And the most exciting thing about that is I get to travel. I get to see all these different things. I get to see all these different animals. I get to make a living doing that. And I have actually lived in Virginia when I was in my mid to late teens. And all the years there and around, I never had anything like this. And to get to go back, once I hit the mountain range, it felt like I was home. I mean, it was just so beautiful and pristine. I love my job. Nobody can take it from me. I earned it. It's what I love to do. It's who I am. It's what I'm about. And doing that job, growing up hunting and fishing is one thing, but when you do what I do, especially doing it primarily at night, you learn to read the land and the layout of the land, the animals, their habits, their habitats, their activities during the day, their activities during the night, how they feed, when they move, when they breed, everything. And one of the best things about this is that even though I didn't get my high school diploma or my GED, the fact that I am called to go and teach and provide an education from what I've learned, I've made it. I don't have that paper, but I've made it. So,
but George, let me tell you this, and I adorn you. You are a PhD, young man, in your own rights. Nobody take that from you. You had a dream. You made your dream come true, and you did it on your own. That's the reason why men like yourself, men like me, and there's many more of us out there, okay, that maybe we don't have the college, we don't have the sheepskin on the wall, but we've had a dream, and we followed that dream, and we've made it come true. And the one good thing is that we enjoy what we do. Isn't that the truth?
Absolutely, and amen to that, brother.
Okay, listen here. We got a lot more guests, and boy, we took a lot of time with you, but you're an interesting guy. So just mute yourself out. And we'll have you back on at the end of the show and answer any questions anybody might have. Okay?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you very much, George. Ladies and gentlemen, that was George out there in Florida. One hell of a guy. He's one of us. And you're going to be hearing a lot more from George. But let's stay up in that side neck of the woods where he's in Carolinas. Let's get out there to Virginia and say hello to Anthony. Hello, Anthony.
Hello there.
Well,
how you doing,
like
Tom?
Back home, back in Brooklyn, you say, Anthony, hey, hey, yo, yo, Anthony.
No, you got to say Anthony.
Anthony. How you been, babe?
Oh, hanging in there.
Well,
a lot more stuff going on this way.
I understand there's more action happening, huh?
Oh, yeah, there's more action. Action happening over here, I got to tell you, not only is my friend still experiencing these buggers out there in his yard, his wife, who is a skeptic, is probably starting to come around because she herself is starting to experience some things out there in the yard. It was one time in the middle of the night, she said it sounded like, two people arguing in the yard, and she knows nobody lives in that direction. She's hearing things. He's seeing a lot more stuff. unfortunately, he hurt his back, so he's not going out as much as he wants to. But when he does go out, he says he said they let him know they're there, you know, by a tree knock here and there. So, but we still don't have any evidence to produce. But you know, perseverance will pay off.
You know, I gotta add to that. Let me do a little PS on that perseverance. I worked for the richest man in the world one time in my life with Banker's Life. His name was John D. MacArthur. He became the richest man right after Howard Hughes. And that's the time in life when I was in the insurance industry. And my boss always told me, he used to say to me, Mascardi, it's a thing called persevering. I said, well, what do you mean, Bill? His name was Bill Myers, God rest his soul. Smart, smart man. Said to me, don't worry about what position you're in life right now. The key to this whole thing is don't be a quitter. You persevere and you go on. As dreary and as dark as it may seem at times, you just know that there's a pot of gold and a light at the end of the tunnel.
That's right.
Don't quit. You just persevere and keep going forward and knowing that someday you'll reach the other side of that mountain and you'll reach that pot of gold and you'll find out that whatever you thought was there, you'll have the answers at the end. And when I heard you say persevere, it just hit me real, real. The bell went off in my head. A light went off, if you know what I'm talking about.
I hear you. I hear
Otherwise, you. Everything okay?
Thank the Lord. Yes, it is.
May he pass by and say amen. Thanks for filling us in. Just mute yourself out, and we'll have you at the end. Anybody's got any questions with you, too, okay?
No problem.
Thanks, son. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Anthony.
Hey, John, and we got John from Massachusetts. He's not on your list, or Tom.
Well, let's talk to John from Massachusetts. John, you out there?
Yeah.
Can you talk a little louder, John?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I think I remembered you. I think I talked to you, too. What's going on out there in Massachusetts, son?
Not much.
Not much.
But,
why are we having you on the show if not much is happening?
Yeah, not much recently.
Okay, that's better. Thank you. I like
that.
Yes, John.
The activity has calmed down.
Okay.
After a while, I noticed they have, like, left the area. Because at first I put out my tree cam in one of the locations. Like, just joking around, seeing what I could get, and I sprayed the scent killer to see what animals would come out. So, as I was looking through, I noticed at a distance, you could see this thing that looked like a sort of raccoon. So I zoomed in, and I could see the feet and the hands looked humanish, and the face was kind of monkeyish, but it was still covered in fur. So I didn't know what it was at first, and then I started to zoom around through the picture, and I noticed there was a bigger one behind the tree watching it, like leaning out, trying to stay hidden, keeping an eye on it. So that's about it for them.
Well, let me ask you something, John. I mean, this is, first of all, how old are you?
15.
15. So you're a young man, and this was the first time you experienced something like this?
Yeah, I was in shock at first. I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
That's what I want to hear, son. I want your first reaction of what happened. You saw this thing. You saw it, and you didn't see one. You saw two. You know how lucky you are?
It was like a while before I noticed the second one, because I was still like so focused on that little one, trying to figure out what it could be.
Wow. Wow. Now, this was at night?
Yeah. Like, late at night, but close to early in the morning, probably like 2, 3, 4 or something.
Let me ask you, this between you and I, were you scared?
A little, because after I was going through more of the pictures, and I noticed that in the other pictures, I seen more of them, like small, like a foot tall, and then other ones like 2, 3. So I noticed it couldn't be, like, misidentification. It had to be something unusual. So as I was looking through the pictures and we came into frame when we were coming to take the camera down, I noticed how the creatures, like, moved in every frame. So I knew it couldn't be some other animal or, like, a plant or something messing it up.
Wow. Now, have you been out since?
Yeah. Just a few days ago, I was in a different location out in the forest, and we were just hanging out there, and as we were going to get back into the truck, we had two rocks thrown at us from out in the woods.
That's typical.
They got thrown out from the bushes.
So when you had the rocks thrown at you and it hit you or hit the truck or the ground, did you turn and look, and did you say, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
Okay. Then what'd you do? Did you get back in the rig and said, I'm out of here, or what?
Yeah, it happened twice, actually. That was the most recent one, but before that, like a month before that one, we were out there, and I was doing howls to see what response we could get. And after I stopped doing howls a little bit, I noticed, and I heard another howl at a distance, but I was wondering, like, if it was coyotes, but it was more of a whoop sound. And then a couple minutes after that, we had a big rock thrown at us from the bushes, but it came, like, flying through the top of the trees. So we knew it couldn't be somebody else messing with us, because it was, like, a big bowling ball-sized rock. And after the rock was thrown, we heard this big thing stomping through the woods, and within seconds, it was just silent, gone.
Wow. Well, you know what I have to say to you, young man? Is welcome to the world of Sasquatch.
Yeah.
What? Let me ask you something, John. Are you Italian?
No.
What are you?
American.
That's a good answer. I mean, are you Irish? Are you Indian?
Irish, German, and Polish.
Well, you're a Heinz 57.
Yeah.
You know what that means?
No.
It means you're a mixture of everything, John. That's a good thing. Hey, listen, John, do me a favor if you would you be kind enough each time you go out there, call us up and let us know what you experience, and if there's anything new, send us over and we'll have you back on so you can share it with our guests around the globe, okay?
All right.
Listen, just mute yourself out because we probably got some questions for you at the end. We got like a round table, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Thanks, John. Ladies and gentlemen, that was John from Massachusetts. What do you think of that? He had himself a hell of an encounter, not one, but multiple creatures. You know what? It does my heart joy. We're going out to Four Corners, New Mexico, ladies and gentlemen. My other son out there, he's like my son, Dave Ortiz. Dave, you out there?
Yeah, sure am, Tom. How you doing?
Well, how are you doing? I understand you got all new good things, and I understand you disassociated yourself from all the flakes in the world, and you just want to go forward with reality. Is that true?
That's absolutely true.
I love it. It took a while for reality to sink in, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
But guess
sure
what?
Did.
You know the right track you're going on now, so who cares?
Yeah, absolutely.
You take that negativeness and you just wipe it out of your life and put it behind you. And just go,
oh, yeah.
Get on that canoe boat of happiness and positivity.
There you go.
All you need.
That's exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you do that, you've got the world licks. And what's been going on out there?
Actually, our activity is rising dramatically. Like, it's right on schedule. And you were the one that taught me about that, you know, that these creatures do have supposedly a migration schedule, and it's just right on, which is usually from mid-July on. And our activity has just increased dramatically.
Pretty amazing.
We've had some activity locally. I've had some even right by my neighborhood. I heard some coyotes yelping and a moan, like a large moan in between all of it. And then I heard a coyote. I think it got killed. You know, it was just a howl and a squeal. And then the other coyotes came in. That was about 4:30 in the morning last week. And then I also went in the mountains a couple of weeks ago. I sent Marco Bill some pictures I found stick structures everywhere, and along with the stick structures, I heard three distinct angry growls. I had a gal friend with me. She's not my girlfriend, but, you know, a good friend. And she heard those growls, and I described what they most likely were. And she got scared at the last one. She says, "We need to leave. We need to leave." I said, "Listen, if this thing really wanted us, it would have, you know, it would have decimated us by now." I was trying to do the researcher, you know, mentality, and but we did leave because it just for her benefit. But I'm going to go up there actually very soon with the crew from here. That we're going to check it out. But
no,
I wanted to give
a kudos to a gal that I talked to on the phone today. Her name is Pamela, up there in Oregon. Pam, oh. I thank you for sending me that address of that person, number one, and I hope I answered all your questions. You're a hell of a gal, and you're a smart person, more so than anything. And anytime that you need any questions asked anymore, you got the right guy to go to. And ladies and gentlemen, she's up there in Oregon. She had an encounter, and she had some questions, and she wanted to put a lot of these questions to bed, and I think that we did that today jointly. You know, you get that, David. You know, you get people calling all the time with the emails and what have you.
Sure.
And sometimes you just don't have the time to answer them all. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, sure.
But we try to get to everyone, you know, and Marco Bill, God rest him, you know, just don't ask Marco Bill what time it is because he'll build you a watch an hour later and you're still on the phone.
Yeah.
And you know that he's thorough as hell. He doesn't leave any rock unturned. So let me ask you something about how's Brenda? Is she a part of your team?
Yeah, we hang out quite a bit actually now. And I've been helping her out here and there, and earlier today I helped her out with her some of her videos and stuff, and we're just collaborating, and activities increased in that area too.
Hey, is it true that Father Ray has taken an oath of silence?
I don't think so, not that I know of.
Heard from him.
I heard from him last week. He said that he's going to come up sometime and we'll go Bigfooting. So he's been a very busy person though. I have trouble sometimes catching him on the phone. So he's down in Gallup right now. Gallup Grants, just traveling back and forth. So he's a very busy man.
Yeah,
and
somebody emailed me and told me that he took a sworn oath of silence for a while.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Huh.
That was just
wow.
That was just recently.
Oh,
well, you know what?
Yeah.
I hope I'm going to be busy up through mid-October. Hopefully, we can come on out there. How's Chief doing?
Chief is doing really well. He's doing. In fact, I think he was on an expedition here this past weekend, down past Gallup, and they were investigating like missing livestock. I think there's kind of the UFO paranormal crypto thing all mixed together down there.
Now, who is he with now? Is he with somebody else or the same guys?
Same guys.
Oh, okay.
But he helps out. He's pretty versatile. You know, whoever needs help or whoever asks him to come, he's right there.
God bless him. He's a hell of a guy.
Yeah.
All right, son. Well, listen, we got to get over to Rocky over there to Arkansas, but just mute yourself out and we'll have you. I'm sure there's going to be questions and answers for you too, okay?
Okay, yes, and Brenda says hello. She told me to tell you that before I got off.
You tell Brenda there's always a soft spot in my heart for her because she's the only
one
I know that grows watermelons, and I love those watermelons. Is she
let her know.
Is she still doing it?
Looking for Bigfoot?
No. Out in the backyard, she had all those watermelons growing.
Oh, yeah.
She still got them going?
Just going, yeah. They're still growing.
Okay, yeah. Because I remember the last time we were there, she just picked one of them off the vine and gave it to us. It was sweet as that.
Yeah. She knows how to grow those things. She's a good green thumb.
She is. Besides all the other stuff that they grow out there. All right, listen. Just mute yourself up. We're going out here to Arkansas.
Okay, Tom.
Thanks, buddy. Good talking to you.
Yeah, good talking with you too, Tom.
Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Dave out there in Four Corners, New Mexico. He'll be there at the end of the show to answer any questions you may have. Let's get out there to talk to Brother Rocky in Sweden. Rocky, you out there?
Yeah, I'm out here. How have you been doing?
I'm okay. How are you in Sweden doing?
Well,
we're doing great.
You're doing great, Sweden. I'm glad to hear it. I understand that you guys are about ready to embark on a month's expedition.
That's it. We're on our ready.
That's right. We're heading out, well, it'll be next Wednesday. We're heading out, and we're not coming back till just before bow season starts, so we don't get an arrow stuck through us. We've been out to the woods. We've got all of our food stashed out there. We've got our campsite cleared and chigger and tick granules down. Robert's getting his the Swede's getting his video camera already, and we're gonna put in a month of it.
Who's gonna be with you?
Do what?
Who's gonna be with you guys?
Just me and the Swede.
Well, you know, I got a hold. I tried calling you last week. Left two messages right after the show because we couldn't get a hold of you. Jim Dawson and his buddy over there, they got a hell of a thing going on, and you're only about an hour and a half away from them.
Yeah, I talked to Jim. I was the other day, and he said something about it, and I told him that we were fixing to go on a mission. So anyhow, but I don't know if it got back to you, but I had a friend of mine with me out in the woods about close to a month ago, I guess. We saw he saw something moving out there, and anyhow, I jumped out and ran up that way, and sure enough, I sighted a rather large bipedal creature cutting up through the woods, judging from the trees, the tree limbs and everything as he went by. It was about a 7-footer. But there was a smaller one that was heading, cutting back to the north, that stopped, and the guy that was with me looked him right dead in the eye and said he was doing something weird with his mouth, said he couldn't tell if he was out of breath or trying to make a sound. We never heard a sound, but anyhow, me and the Swede are going. That's one of the places we're going to check. We've got our base camp, and then we've got six or seven other campsites set up. We've baited. We don't have to do anything but go out there and just start hunting. And everything's set up. We got blinds up. Actually, the Swede's got his video camera out, and well, I still haven't. We have, me and my wife own one, but it seems to have been misplaced.
By the way, how's Mama?
She is. She's better. She's better for the time being.
Well, that's a good thing. Have you heard from Psycho Bill?
I talked to him, I think it was last week. He called, and we talked for a while. And he's seems to be hitting on all cylinders, too, so I'm glad to hear from him. But anyhow, I told him that you know, I wouldn't be able to make any contact with anybody for a month. I told Marco that we would try to get up to the top, you know, and call in on a Wednesday. But you know, once we get down there in the bottoms, it's just impossible to get any service.
Communication. Is Bill still on, off the grid?
You talking about Bill Coffey?
Yeah,
he's on the show tonight.
Oh, I haven't heard from him because I know he went off the grid for a while.
Yeah, yeah, he was out of the grid here for a while.
Rocky, yeah, tell Tom about
his emails and stuff, but he was staying pretty much in the sticks.
Yeah.
Go ahead, sweet.
Yeah, he got tired of the damn heat, just like a lot of us do, and he found a lot of areas where it was a lot cooler. He had was telling me that nighttime it gets down to 40 degrees, and it's cool as hell, and he loves it to death. And the daytime it got as high as 70, where everybody else has been roasting at 116 or 119 there in the damn desert.
Well, we've been getting rained on.
Yeah, tell him when we went
tip there in Arizona. What were you going to say, Swede?
We were down there doing our provision thing, Tom, and we had a couple showers. You know, we've had a few showers in a row, and you know how it is. Well, you don't know how it is, but anyway, the creeks do come up in a flash, and we had some melons stashed in the blue hole that we had got. You were talking about watermelons, so we stashed a couple of them. We put them in a gunny sack and put them down in a hole in the river there and weighed them. Anyway, the water started coming up. We was afraid they might get washed down the way there and we'd lose them, so we run down there right quick-like, and I say quick-like, it takes 45 minutes to get there. Anyway, after freezing certain parts of your body off in that cold spring water, Rocky said, look there, and the water had, the rain had kind of wet the gravel along the river there on the little gravel bar, and Rocky, tell him what, I'll let you tell Tom what you discovered out through there.
Well, when we was scrambling around there trying to get those watermelons out without freezing to death, it was hot, but that water's always super cold. Anyhow, we got the melons out, and I stood up there, and I looked across the creek, and there on the gravel bar, since it had been raining, there was three places over there about, I'm going to say, about 16 inches long. That was about, they were about 6 foot apart in a row. It looked like footprints. But the water had just puddled up in them. And, you know, we didn't see them when we first went down there because everything was still dry. But then after it rained, it puddled up in them, so they were just pretty plain. And
I was really excited.
Yeah.
Bet.
Let me tell you something. But I got to tell you something, Swede. Right now, there's action going on all over this country. And, you know, it's been phenomenal. It really has, you know.
Well, we're so excited, Tom. I don't know if you've listened to any shows. Marco knows I've been building up for August. It's like worse than opening day deer season for me. We've got so much stuff going on down there. We got pawpaws on the trees down there as big as they're right now. They're about the size of little Smokies.
Uh-huh.
And there's a great crop of them. If we don't have any problem with that hobbit bear, which we found out's a bad deal, we got a little hateful bear that's looking for a fight we keep running into. But there's going to be so much going on down there. There's going to be some stuff happening. We're going to be down there for long enough that we can document some of it. We can't wait. I told
you. Know, that's great. You know, and if Bill Coffey, if you're listening, you might want to take a ride down there if you're not, I don't know, he doesn't like the humidity or heat like I do neither.
Yeah, I got Bill on right now.
Oh, Bill, you on there?
Hi, Sweet. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Bill.
How you doing?
Good.
Listen, you still up where you were?
Yeah, I got a jacket on tonight.
I was just telling him, what is it, 40 degrees?
Yeah, it's It's almost 35, 38 where I am up there in the mornings.
Holy shit. Well, have you listened to any of the show, Bill?
Yeah, I've listened to the whole show.
Well, you know, there's action going on all over the place. And out there in Arkansas, not only by Sweet and Rocky, but up there by Dawson and the other guy, there's some sightings. It's happening like crazy right now.
I talk to Rocky once a week to make sure he's okay when he comes in after his day off, and I know his schedule, so we talk.
Well, they're going out for a month. Why don't you go out and visit them for a month?
Well, I thought I could hit maybe some of these stuff that's going on up here in the north, like Oregon and that kind of stuff.
You know, I just got a call from Miss Pamela today, and level-headed gal.
She's so close, Tom. It's close for me here, you know what I mean? I know it is.
I know. And guess what? The weather's a hell of a lot better, partner. Believe me.
Yeah, I know.
I know that shit better than anybody right now. But you know what? I might, you know, George, let's open this up for an open forum. George and
here we go. Here comes John from Massachusetts.
Everybody come on back on.
George, you're on. Anthony, you're on. Steve, are you there?
Hey
there. Gentle Giant.
Yeah, I'm here listening to all the BS.
Okay, Tom, we've got Steve the Gentle Giant, Sweet, John from Massachusetts, Rocky, George,
Steve, is that you?
Bill Coffey, and Anthony.
Yeah, hold on. Steve, is that you?
Yes, Tom, I'm keeping it mum.
Yeah, now, if this is BS and you can't handle it, get the fuck off. You got it? Fucking moron.
I love you.
You know, I don't dig that shit.
I'm sorry.
This isn't BS. This is our livelihood. This is what we do. And that's what everybody on here does. And I thought that's what you were doing. And if you can't be one of us, I don't want to fucking talk to you no more. You get it?
I get it.
All right? So if you don't have something nice to say, don't fucking say it.
Okay, I won't.
It's real simple, okay? It's a real simple deal here. Because everybody, our lives are on the fucking line every day out here.
Sorry.
That's what these guys do also.
I'm sorry. I take it back.
Good. So I don't want to hear any more nonsense from you. You got it?
Plain and simple.
Yeah. But anyhow, Bill, I'll let me see what I can conjure up there. But, George, are you out there?
Absolutely.
You know, George, Bill and Rocky and Swede, I want you to get to know this guy. He's straight up. Bill, I talked to you about him, a month ago, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I got crossed up. You said he's in Carolina, and then George called me and says, I looked up and I was, you know, I'm coming once in a while to get the phone number, get my messages, and George called and looked up the number on the internet, and it was Florida. And I go, well, now who's Florida? So, you know, I didn't get the name when we talked about the gentleman in South Carolina. So now I put it all together. It's George. It's all these people. So
yeah.
I apologize, George.
Oh, no, listen, I understand totally. Believe me, when we're out in the bush, it's hard to get a phone call in.
Well, you guys, yeah. Swede and Bill and Rocky, when I sent him out on this job for us, that's the story he told tonight. And I'll tell you what, I got a call from them people again yesterday. And the George, not the kid, but the stepfather, what's his name?
Mr. Draper.
Draper, that's it. If I know him by his first name, what do they call his first name?
Junior,
that's it, Junior Draper. He's saying to me, he says, when can you guys come on back out here, man? Those things are back out here again last night. And the reason why I'm telling the story with Bill and Swede and Rocky is because this guy here, this guy George, you guys, heard it with his own ears, okay? And he's tickled pink. And this is the thing that's intrigued him. What was the word you used, George? You're bit for life?
What's that?
After listening to that thing, you're bit for life now?
Yeah, they're, listen, it would be the snake man. There ain't a snake that can bite me that would get me in this like I am now.
Well,
that's,
you know
what?
That's
the way it was. Tom invited me to go, and I had nothing to do. I went, and we walked up on that first footprint, and in New Mexico, that damn footprint had teeth. I'd have been bit.
That's right. You know what really got Bill was when he got the picture on that trail trip camera, and he saw that lair, just like we all did for the first time. And I'll tell you what, that just intrigued the hell out of everybody that night.
When I put that SD card in that laptop, and that creature walked in front of that camera at 2 in the morning, my knees, I thought somebody hit me with a baseball bat, my knees went out.
See? So this is what you got to look forward to, George. This is what you got to look forward to.
Are you kidding? I've been looking forward to this for a long time. That's why I said when you gave me the opportunity to go and do this after having my own experiences here, amen, brother. Thank you so much. I can't wait to go back.
Trust me.
Well, this is good, Tom, that we have George in that area and Rocky in the middle and us on the West Coast.
You bet. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And, you know, not just having those people there, it's people that you can trust, Bill, as you know.
That's what I said. Now we have Rocky George in the South, and we can cover more territory. It used to be you and me just driving all over. You put 100,000 miles in your truck, in the last year.
They don't understand it, Bill. They don't understand. They cannot fathom. Not just that. Did you hear about them raising the prices of gas now?
Yeah, I tell you.
It's going to go up more.
How much is it now, Steve?
It's almost $5 a gallon, and it's expected to go up more.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Well, I'm glad here in South Carolina, it's only $3.29.
Well, get ready.
When I went to Georgia, 2 months ago, I'm coming through Mississippi, I paid $3.11, and it's $4.50 up here where I am.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be.
Hey, Tom, maybe John might have a question for one of these guys.
John, you got any questions for any of the guys? You're talking about these are the A-team, John, that's on here now. So any questions you got, bring it forth.
No, I don't got any questions right now.
Listen, I got a question for John. Too crazy or too stupid. Just say it.
Huh?
You're part of us now, John.
Like what techniques or stuff do you use when you're out in the field?
Techniques pertaining to what, son?
Like, do you have any scents or something you put out to try to boost activity?
Oh, okay. Good question.
Because I try all those. I've been trying those out in my area to see if I can stir up some more activity since it ceased.
Yeah, but remember one thing. You said something that was very astute at the beginning of your portion. You said they may have already gone through, and you could have seen a creature that was migrated already. Remember, this is the migrational path this time of the year, okay? And believe it or not, come October to December, they're all going to be going back down south, okay? So they're going to try to get to better weather. But let's put that question out to the boys, Swede, Bill, Dave, Rocky. He wants John, who's a new boy, and also George. He wants to know, is there any kind of bait inducing? How can we get these creatures, if they are there, to come forth?
Yeah, well, the way you taught me, the way we started, I learned, went into it, and Rocky and I have kind of changed our approach on a little bit. We've changed up the way we hang bait now. And after the second power washing in Mississippi by a raccoon, we hang our bait a little different now. And so,
what kind of bait do you use? Tell John that. Would you, Bill?
I'm using apple and peanut butter now.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
It works so good.
Apple, do you hear that, John?
Yeah.
Okay. So get yourself
you I experimented with apple
in Montana. It worked. And then it just seemed the apple and peanut butter hanging. And we come up this way. Rocky and I have been conversing on the way we've been doing it. I think we've got it narrowed down. The best way to hang this bait now.
Yeah, if you take a pretty heavy piece of wire and double it over and punch it through the core of the apple and then bend the ends where you have a loop to hang it from,
then cut a little wedge out of it and smear peanut butter in it, then hang it about 8-10 feet off the ground. We've been making the hogs go crazy down there with them, but that is, and cuties. You can always use cuties.
I would have never thought about that.
The thing about Rocky, too, Rocky
still won't, because that last one stole them out of his ice chest, so he don't give up his cuties too quick.
No, that, yeah. John, that thing with the wire and the apple, see, it doesn't, the apple's pretty solid there. When you put your string on there, you can, you know, you just kind of pile it up there on the ground after you got your apple all set up. You don't have to climb the tree. You don't have to do none of that. You can just toss it over a limb out away from the tree where the coons can't get it, because the apples stay together, and then just pull it up to the height you want and tie it off.
And in the grocery stores now, I'm finding that these lemons are coming in this mesh bag. And that's how they use those mesh bags. Put 2 or 3 apples in there, cut them in half, smear peanut butter on them, and that mesh breeze, it's aroma. I can smell it by walking up to it. And I've been hanging it off a limb so nobody can get it off the ground.
You know, that's a great point, guys. You know, I never thought of that, and you know you're right.
Well,
apple comes from the forest, comes from the trees, and like Bill just said, you cut one of those things, you get that smell, and then you put that peanut butter rind on there, and then like Sweet said, you put it through the core, or Rocky said, and you just hang it over a limb. You don't have to worry about the coons coming and eating it up, and you're putting it dead center and to the height you want. I love that idea, guys.
Hey, John.
I've been hanging freezing gallons of apple juice and then punching a hole in the bottom and hanging them up high. And so far it's brought in all kinds of animals. As it thaws, it drips out. And we've had, two places we had the hogs tear the ground up, something terrible, trying to figure out a way to get to it. And the hobbit's been there. Our little bear's been there. That's not what we're after, but we're having, when it drips out, the scent of it is just driving everything crazy. And that's what we're hoping that we can do, is get, at the very least, some tracks.
Right, it detracts from our scent, too. You know, if there's a lot of other critters running around, it detracts from our scent. So, like, if you go out there, John, if you got a, you know, even if it's coons or stuff, as long as it's not getting your bait, you put a little scent that's like that drip rock he's talking about, it just covers your tracks. So when you walk in there, there is a creature around or something, he's a lot less likely to pick up on your scent. That's the way I see it. I don't know.
Hey, John.
Yeah. Go ahead, Steve.
I wanted to ask, and not really much about how to get rid of your scent. I myself know how to do that with garlic. You chase anything off of that. But when you saw this creature for the first time, what went through your mind? Were you kind of scared?
Yes.
And how old are you?
15.
Oh, okay. Well, I was like 5 years old when I first saw mine, and I ran up underneath the bed. But I also wanted to make a point out there. I'm sorry if I said anything to offend you. That's personally from me to you, okay?
Yeah.
I guess he apologized, John. That was great. All right, listen, it was sure good talking to everybody here tonight. And I got to tell you straight up, I think between all the people that we've got stationed around this globe, specifically here in the great United States of America, you know, it's coming to a short end here. And I think maybe if we're lucky enough by the end of this year, we may be having something. What do you guys think?
I think so. I know it crawled on me, and I didn't realize it. I flipped it off. But I'm feeling okay. Just make me a strong pot of coffee.
Who's that?
Okay.
That's me. I'm sorry. I was talking to my other half. I got bit by a black widow.
Well, don't stay on here. Go get some medical attention.
Yeah, I will. I'll catch you guys later. Bye.
Let me know what happened. All right, guys. Listen, it was good. It was like old home week here tonight, and I appreciate everybody taking in their time. Anthony.
Here you.
David. Swede. Rocky. Bill. You son of a bitch. I haven't heard from you in 2 weeks. Giant. John. And Pamela, if you're listening there tonight. By the way, this is the guy. This is Bill. He's not that far from you. He's just a state over. If you call me back tonight or email me, I'll hook you up with him, and he's out there right now. What do you look like now, Bill?
I look worse than my picture on the. I cut my hair, but I look worse than the picture on the website. I got a beard. They called me from Swamp People. Want to know if Carl and I want to take over Glenn and Mitchell's place?
Until next week, my friends, kudos and salutations.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Good night.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold, and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monster myths and mysteries, legend, tales and facts, put them all together.